there are two extremes that exist in many people that are extremely dangerous. There's aggressiveness and there's passivity. Both are extremely dangerous. Today we're going to spend some time really just talking about passivity, but I got to make sure that I'm clear that this is not a point for the aggressive ones to come down on those who are passive. As we go through this, you're going to hear about the dangers of being passive. Any of these characteristics are choices for Christians because we have the ability, with Christ being our strength, to act as he says act based on him. But when we act upon the flesh, then we're going to be one or the other, or a mixture of each. And once again, this is dangerous. The name of this Order My Steps is The Silent Danger of Passivity. Now, I wrote at the top, an aggressive Christian is one that overacts and usually causes a lot of problems in his or her actions. A passive Christian does not act when he or she is supposed to and causes equal amount of damage. The two characteristics should never describe a Christian. All Christians should be what's called responsible to God. Okay, so as you see it, a passive person puts it off. An aggressive person jumps on it immediately. Now, usually you'll get an aggressive person, and not only do they pat themselves on the back because they jump on things, they tend to do it foolishly. They act without thinking, while a passive person doesn't act and sometimes doesn't act at all. They'll act too late, and they miss golden opportunities. So as we go through this, we're going to talk about the passive person and how dangerous that is. But those of you who are aggressive, the answer to them is not to act as you. You'll get some people that'll go, are you going to do it now? Why not? How come you're not going to do it now? You know what I mean? Please don't do that. What you want is for people to get engaged with God so our timing is right when we act on everything. Amen? Now, continuing on, it says, make no mistakes. All passive people are not lazy. So don't mistake that. Laziness can be a part of passivity, but not all of them are lazy. Just not responsible to God. Know the difference. You have some very hardworking passive people. And the way you know the difference is watch their purpose. I mean, they'll be hardworking at certain things, but it'll usually be for their gratification, for somebody else, but not based on God. Okay, so know that. Don't mistake, because we just think when they're lazy, then they're passive. No, you have some very active, passive people, because we're talking about Christians. All of this is with the basis of God. God's message for the passive church needs to be heard, and all of us needs to take this into consideration. He shows in Revelations 3, 14 through 17, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Now, do you see how what he's saying? Remember, these are two extremes that he's saying, I wish you were one or the other. Either be, all for God or not for God at all. Passivity, in a sense, can lie in the middle. It can get comfortable because it looks where it wants to be and it sits there. And that's called lukewarm. Verse 16 says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out my mouth. He's kind of alluding to that a person who is passive is basically worse than a person who is evil. Amen. See, a person who's evil just accepts his evil, but he has an opportunity to make a complete change. But at least he's owning the complete package of just not following God, okay? It's those who mock God, who are Christians when it's convenient, but they're truly not convenient to God, okay? That's why he says, I'm about to spit you out. He was like, you're playing games with God, and that's dangerous. And he shows how this group acts. He says in verse 17, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. You see what I'm saying? They're kind of comfortable. You know, God, I'm good. You know, and they base everything on them. The reason why I'm not going to say anything with that person, because I'm good with that person. Now, is that person good with God? No. And you have opportunities. It may hurt your friendship. It may make them mad at you, but it's all for God. But because you're good with them, you don't move on, you're passive. It's like, oh, well, what's the big deal? We're cool. They're okay with me. And that's why he says, but you do not realize. And that's what hurts us. When we act in a characteristic that is not a godly characteristic, we miss out on things we need to see. This is why we walk by faith, because sight is so deceptive. We don't realize, he says, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What he's saying is this person thinks they are rich and acquired wealth and they're good. It's all good. You have a lot of people, due to their comfort in life, they think they're good and they're living in their good. But they don't realize that they're lost, that they're naked, that they're in danger. That's a passive person. You understand that? See, a person who's passive won't even check into this. They don't check their lives. They kind of get comfortable and then they sit in their comfort. Hopefully that scares you to make you check yourself daily. Examine yourself, as the Bible says. Now, God is not just looking for us to work hard, but to work hard at what He made us responsible for. Matthew 24, 45 through 46 says, who then is the faithful and wise servant? Okay, who's the one that he really calls faithful and wise? Now, this right now is giving us an answer for us to examine ourselves with. He's going to answer it. He says, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food, watch this, at the proper time. So, first of all, God gives us all a responsibility in life. Your entire life, there is a complete responsibility we all have. You get it? Okay? And he says, those who are doing what he says when he says it. Man, I mean, he just added detail. He just showed there is more detail than what we give credit for. You understand that? Not only that I'm doing what he tells me, but I'm doing it at the right time. He says in verse 46, it would be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. When God comes back, he wants to make sure that we are doing what he said when he said it. So, being aggressive, did I do it too soon? Did I react based on me to try to get it all over with? Or passive, did I put it off? Did I really not check into it? Just no big deal. And that's where passive ones are setting themselves up and being dangerous and putting themselves in danger. God doesn't take passiveness lightly. He shows us this in Matthew 25, 22 through 30. He gives this parable, which is an excellent example of what it means to truly be passive. He says, the man who had the man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. Now, I've gone over this parable. And it's given 2 times in 2 different ways. And I'm just using this one here. But in this one, the talents have to represent what we get in life. That's along with the responsibilities. That can be the problems. That could be the talents you have. That can be the money you have, the resources, where you live, everything. Think of it that way. Okay? And we are the servants. And all that we get in life, okay, whatever we're dealt in life, we are responsible for getting a return on it. Okay? And this one says, okay, you gave me 2 talents. So whatever his in life encompassed, he now has to get a return on that life. And he showed God, I have gained 2 more. So his life has a godly return. And his master replied in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. Now I've explained this before too. He gives 2 characteristics that are very important that must describe a Christian. Good, which means how he did it, when he did it, is all based on God, because only God is good. And faithful, he did it exactly what God said. Remember, faith is doing what he says. I'm dependable to God. You understand that? I am relying and doing what my Father says. Good and faithful. He says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent, now here's the passive one, came, master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now look what he showed here. He says, I knew you were a hard man. He's basically telling the master, I knew you. So a lot of us read the Bible, we know who God is, but we still react based on something else other than faith. Think about that. That's what he's saying here. He was like, I knew you, but I reacted in another way. He's like, I knew all this. In verse 25, he says, so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Okay. Now, we may not see that as passive all the time, but it is. It's us not acting based on him. We act using him as a reason, and then we act based on something else. You understand this? He says, see, here it is. Here's what belongs to you. You know, when we have passive people, I'll get to it, and we have our reasons why. Once again, aggressive people, this is not your cue to go and beat them up. Unless you're going to use God and encourage them in the right way, back off. Verse 26 says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Now look at the two he used for him, going against what he used for the other servant. The first one was good and faithful, right? But this one is wicked and lazy. Wicked because what he did was not acting in what God said. And lazy. He still acted. He went and hid it, but he didn't act the way God said. So it's still not counted as good work. So bad work and no work, same thing. You get this? He explains to them, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. He was like, you knew I wanted a return. Even if it wasn't as much that you could have made, at least you made the godly effort. But those people who are living their lives, and I have to say this to so many people, what are you doing? I mean, we don't put the time in with God. We don't try to grow with God. We don't try to receive God, and then we don't try to apply God. Or the effort we do is so lackluster. Or haphazard, sorry about that. It's so lackluster, thank you. So lackluster that we are not investing what we should. We invest in so much other junk instead of completely in him. That's why he says in verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to one of who has the 10 talents. He said, give this to another person. They're going to have more. And that's why he says in verse 29, for everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance because now he has more to make an investment off of. Remember, we're building up for rewards. But look what he says to the one who is passive. He says, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you have some ministers that say, well, of course, it's not talking about hell because servants don't go to hell. I'm sorry. You see what it just says here. I don't know what else it's referencing. You know, we have to really do a stretch to make it not reference hell. I'm sorry, I'm reading what the Bible says. This is referencing hell. You understand that? So those who do evil are the same as those who do nothing. If I do nothing, so there's a responsibility in my life. And if as a Christian, I'm not living as a Christian, I'm not a Christian. I can't be passive in my Christian life. I get a lot of Christians that will say, well, I'm working on it. What does that mean? Working on it will be you're doing it. And it may not be great right now, but you're actively doing it. Not those who are doing absolutely nothing. And they'll tell you they're working on it. And they're just hoping one day it'll all change. That's passive and very dangerous. You have to understand a passive person is equal to a destructive person. Proverbs 18:9 says, one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. You understand it? So one who goes out and actually does wicked, he's saying, is the same as the person who doesn't do what he's supposed to. Right? And remember, doesn't mean the one who's not working, it's the one who's not doing what he's supposed to. Big difference. Okay? I work with people that at work, they're hard workers. It's just not with what they're supposed to do. They're working on other projects or other things. And you'll go, wait a minute, when was this supposed to be done? I got to get to that. Why are you doing this? What is what I want to do? They're slacking. And he says it's the same as a person going out and causing trouble and destroying things. We see it in relationships and families. It shows here that a passive parent abused their children. Proverbs 29:15 says the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Now, right there, that's instruction for a parent that you get the child knowing I have to apply correction to them for them to grow up, to be wise. In order for them to have that chance, that's my responsibility. Watch what he says. But a child left to himself disgraces his mother. You have some parents that try to force or rush the responsibility in the child. They're kids, and you want them to act as adults now. Why? Because I really don't want to deal with it. Right? We want videos and other things to train them. We want them to do it right now. Instead of us as Christians realizing, no, this is a process. Yep, this is work that we must apply. But when I don't apply it, that may even be worse abuse than what you see at the physical and mental abuse out there. Not doing what I'm supposed to is not an option. He says in James 4:17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. It's one of those times where I'm not doing anything, and my not doing anything is me sinning. You get it? We must act. I know some churches like to get rid of the term works, but works plays a major part in a Christian's walk. Remember, in the Old Testament, they worked to be righteous. Okay? In the New Testament, that's what we're under grace. Our works show if we're righteous. It's the evidence. So if there are no works from me, the Bible says, then you're not righteous. It's the evidence that I am righteous. You get that? That means I've truly received God's grace the way I'm supposed to. It's not me working hard to be righteous. It'll be the evidence that I am. So how do we eliminate this passivity? How do we get rid of this dangerous characteristic that so many Christians have? First of all, instructions for the church is diligence in what you are responsible for. So as I get in the word, it not only tells me what I'm supposed to do and tell me how to do it, it gives me ideas when to do it. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Watch this, what he says here in verse 11. We want each of you to show the same diligence till the very end. In other words, with the understanding of what his word tells us, you apply the time, the effort, the understanding in doing what he says. Get rid of your emotions and feelings and desires out of that. Just go in and say, God, what exactly do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And when do you want me to do it? He says, in order to make your hope what? Sure. He says in verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those, watch this, who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Two characteristics that we must have from God as instruction on being the Christian who is responsible to God. Faith, that's just doing what he says. Remember, faith comes from hearing from the word of God. So in other words, I'm going out of my way to find out what he's telling me so I can do it. And then I'm patient. I know many who have done this and they quit. I've done it. I'm finished. I don't see the return that I think I should have. I'm finished. First of all, the return that they think they're supposed to have could be wrong. You know, maybe they should be happy later on. They'll find out, man, I'm glad he didn't give me what I wanted. And secondly, some are just going to wait. Some things, when you finally receive it, you're going to go, man, it was beyond worth the wait. But you have those impatient ones. Once again, that's showing their true colors, and they're going to head for the wrong place. That's why he says, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. But I got to have faith and patience. Being idle and not living acceptable to God should be addressed. It definitely needs to be something that we check on, that we put in check. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. Now, not only is it telling me not to be idle, this is one of those cases where disassociation comes in. Now, if we were to do this, we'd probably teach more of the church. Unfortunately, the majority of the church is idle. And so it just really causes a problem. Majority are an idle member, like I told you, is not somebody who's not working. In other words, you know, I can call some people together and say, hey, I need y'all to do this, man, they're there. It's not talking about that. It's a person that you watch in their lives act actively display the word. That's what you don't see. Like if somebody were to look at your life, would your life as a whole, not bits and pieces here and there, not moments when we have church service, I'm talking about your entire life, display God. Would it? If not, you're idle. And the warning is the rest of the church is supposed to avoid you. He says, who is idle and does not live, watch this, according to the teaching you received from us. You have people that are very active, but idle. Because in their activity, they'll do more stuff that are based on what the world says. We went through a year today, this year, where we got to see a lot of people who are activists for many causes, and that's great. But they put more effort into temporary causes, worldly causes, not godliness. You understand this? I'm an African-American man, and there's a lot of fights that are out there because, you know, our country is unfair, and so is the world. But if I just place it on that, and let's say I did it and even things won, I'm only doing it based on that, and that's temporary. However, taking that, going to God and saying, okay, God, how do I display you for this thing? I'm going after the eternal. I'm going to touch more lives if I do it this way. My life, and it's not always something that stands out. It's not something that you always get a statue for. It's going to reflect in your basic life. People who are doing this just go to work. People who are doing this just raise their family. How they are in their relationships. However, you're seeing them actively going out of their way to make sure everything they do is in accord with the word. It displays and ministers. So this is where this teaching has to be done. In Titus 2, the emphasis is placed, and we got to recognize this emphasis. We got to make sure we realize how we're supposed to teach. Amen. I think the teaching part has faded, and those who do teach are more motivational speakers, people who are more so putting more on their teaching from their experience and what they think, not what God says. And this has become a huge, huge issue in the body, because by all means, it's our responsibility to teach. Let's start off right. Titus 2, starting in verse 1, gives us this first thing first. It kind of sets the stage for how we're supposed to teach. Okay? It says you must teach, this is verse 1, what is in accord with sound doctrine. Okay? So it already makes that very clear to us. We must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Now, I'm stopping there because I'll get a lot of people that'll give some things that sound wise, and then they're done. And you're like, oh, that was wrong. I've heard parents and people in traditional families give teachings that's not in line with God at all. Y'all get this? That's what's scary. It has absolutely nothing to do with God at all. It'll be something that the world might say is great. It may be something that your family might have passed down. But in right there, whatever you're going to teach after that, the foundation is failed. The rest of it's going to be garbage. And this is why we teach our men to be Neanderthals, and we teach our women to kind of flaunt and to be weak. And we don't teach what's in accord with what God says. Do y'all get this? We don't teach what God is telling us is right. Right? We're missing this. And because we're missing this, it's killing us. And this is why we have so many people that are ignorant, right? They're ignorant because we're not using the right material. If you went to school and the teachers are teaching, let's say they are teaching and you can't take that away from them, but they're teaching 2 + 2 = 19. Now you'd have a fit because they're teaching wrong. Oh, but they're teaching, as stupid as that sounds, right? They're teaching, but the problem is they're teaching with the wrong material. And that's going to leave your child hopelessly ignorant. And that's what's happening with us. So that's the first thing. Must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Check everything you have taught. Okay? You'll be surprised on some of the things that some of the older people that call them older Christians are teaching their kids and how they're teaching them. And it's so warped and messed up. Kids are in trouble. Then he goes on and he gives specifics because he made us differently, even in our gender. He says in verse 2, you must teach what's in accord. I'm sorry. He goes on and says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect. Did y'all catch that? Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. So let's break that down. So he tells the older men, first of all, how their attitude has to be. Okay. Temperate means I have to be in control of my emotions. Can't get angry. You get a lot of men today go, you know what? I'm done. I'm not dealing with this. And I hate to tell you this. God's letting you know right now, you have the control not to do that. But when you allow that to be your basis, you're in trouble. You're allowing your anger, your impatience, your whatever you have, and you're not controlling it, it's controlling you. Once you get fed up, you're done. Then it says worthy of respect. You know, men love to talk this. I demand respect. Now, you know, respect is a passage that we must hold and we must display. But what God is showing here, we must live worthy of it. Even if we don't get it, somebody else may look at it and go, why are you treating him that way? Do y'all get this? And we must be self-controlled. That means I'm in control of me. You don't lose your temper. You don't lose control. Right? And then he gives something here that we tend to miss in this. And this is what makes us so passive, is the word sound. I get people that teach garbage, and I call it garbage because they give pieces, not complete. They'll talk about faith in pieces, which is not faith at all. They'll talk about love in pieces. They'll talk about elements of love, not love itself. And endurance. They'll only talk about endurance in certain areas. Once again, pieces. If it's not sound, if it's not the complete package, then you're not giving them what they need. If I only gave you pieces of water, you're going to be dehydrated. If I give you pieces of what you need to eat, you're not getting the other things you need to eat. You need the whole. So sound. I got to be sound in faith. I have to be sound in love. And I have to be sound in endurance. Now, this tells the church, this is what you have to encourage. This is what you have to teach. And men, you older Christians, is this you? That's the key. Is this you? Or are you kind of, oh, I ain't got no time for that. Right? So it's something that we must be. Now, it's going to get this. You have to be this way, men, older men, so you can teach the younger men. And he's going to show you why he gave so much here. We'll come back to that. But then this is verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent. Now, when I speak of these, it doesn't mean the other one doesn't have to be. These are the main things that these two groups must lean upon. So even though the men must be reverent, and that's going to be included in what we just talked of, he's saying these are going to be the main bases that they're going to use in their teaching of the younger ones. So likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Now, the problem in reverent in the way they live means they check how they live, that it's in line with God. Not in how I want to be, and nobody's going to tell me how I want to be, right? Reverent means they're watching their life that's in line with God. That would fit the self-control for the men too, but just kind of being clear on that, okay? It says not to be slanderers, right? And a slanderer is not always just saying something bad about something. It's your purpose of what you're saying, because you can say some truth. But what was your reason for saying it? See, a slanderer is my only reason for saying it is because it's to hurt them or to make them look bad. In other words, my reasoning is bad intent. That's slander. Okay? It could be the truth, but why'd you say it? So tell women not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. That's a weird one, isn't it? But it's showing you not to allow any substance or whatever to be the thing that's running them. Don't let anything run them. And then he adds something here, but teach what is good. Man, is that important. Why is that? Because you get so many women that will teach some things that are based off of tradition and things that they think and emotion and feeling, but not godly. Some of the things that they give the young ladies out there is not in line with God. So it's not good. You don't force them to get married based on how you see it. You don't force them to dress a certain way based on what the world says. He says now the men and the women, now he's going to jump on the women here on the training. So this is the characteristic of a woman teacher. So those who call yourself elder women, if you are not this, you need to be trained to be this. If you're lacking this, this is what you need to be trained to be. Then it says, then they can train the younger woman too. Then they can train. And this is why so many fail, because you haven't gotten to the part of you didn't have the resources to do what you're supposed to do. Then they can train the younger woman to be, I'm sorry, to love their husbands. You get that? Those who are married, it's saying so they can teach them how to truly love their husbands and children. Huge. The Bible shows the man is the head of the household, and it shows that the woman manages the household. Okay, Proverbs 31 really breaks down how that process works, how to really display and show that love, and the older women should be able to show that in the Lord. It uses this characteristic also to be self-controlled and pure. Self-control still goes to that reverence where you teach them, don't go off of emotion, don't go off of situation. Your answer should never be, well, I did it because they did. It's not a retaliatory type of life. It has to fully be because God said. Why are you doing it? Because God said. And that's where the pure comes in. Purely what God says, not what you hope God says, not what you wish God says, not what you interpret God says, what God says. It says to be busy at home. I know this is could be controversial at times, but if we really lived in a Christian attitude, we'd understand this is not demeaning, and we'd add importance to it. We'd understand what that whole aspect of maintaining and running and taking care of the home. To be kind, no attitudes. You understand that? Not allowing your feelings to make you engage how you act. And watch this. To be subject to their husbands. Now remember, subject to their husbands is just understanding they are responsible for you, for those who are married. They are responsible for you. Now, subject to your husbands is still all under God. Okay? It's not subject to your husbands as them being the ruler. Do you understand that? That's why it says so that no one will malign the word of God. It's saying because people will look at the word and say, he's the head, but why does the family look like this? But you won't train them this if you're not reverent in the way you live, women. You won't train the young women this if you're out there slandering and if you're addicted to things in your life. You get that? Now it's coming back to the men. You understand that? In verse 6, where it says, similarly encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything, set them. Now, first of all, if you notice, this is the only thing he's saying to teach them the self-control. If you notice, the young ladies could be taught so many other things. But then the men, you're going to teach them self-control, and then you're going to tell them to watch and follow. Men are more visual. That's why in 1 Peter 3, it tells the women when the men see the reverence in your life, the purity and reverence, it'll minister to them more than words. Y'all get this? He says, in everything, this is for the older men, set them an example by doing what is good. They can't watch me act in one way and then teach them another way. If I'm a knucklehead with my family and then I go and I got to be an elder man, it always used to blow my mind because they used to get some of the biggest knuckleheads in their lives and then tell them, go teach that young man. And the young man's sitting there going, I don't know, they're already teaching me. You get where I'm coming from, right? It says, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. If there's stuff you're doing wrong, the integrity is going to show, and not just integrity, you have to show it. Integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech. What you're going to say to them is when you're wrong, man, you're going to own it. Make sure you put it out there. And don't use that, and I'm really working hard at it. Say, no, I'm wrong. It's plain and simple. It says that cannot be condemned. All of this stuff is so important, and how I broke this down, or how the word broke this down, and to show us how to teach or get our kids to grow up to be responsible to God, not passive. He ends it with, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. All of this stuff is necessary. All of this stuff is important in order for us not to be passive and for us not to be aggressive, but for us to be responsible to God. Please examine your life, your children's life. Please do it in line with God. And let's stop saying I'm working on it. And let's do it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much, and we just ask for your forgiveness on our passivity, on when we're not acting when we're supposed to. So help us, dear Lord, as we read your word. Help us as teachers and those being taught to take on and to follow what you are giving us in the right way. Help us to seek your ways and to seek you at all times. Continue to bless those who are struggling. Those who are having a hard time this year, dear Lord, help us to become spiritual, which is the answer in a lot of this stuff. and help us to also know the difference between the flesh and the spirit, that we may not be discouraged by how we feel, but being led by what you say. Thank you for your love, your kindness, and all that you continue to do, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.